B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Clock hour. A little later in the show, James Palmer will join us on the NFL Network. So we'll talk some football issues with James. The 3 o'clock hour, in meanwhile, is brought to us by Corpley's Bakery and Deli. World-famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. Interesting conversation today on the Wentz-Peterson dynamic. And I say, I'm like ambivalent about both of them. So, like, I'm asking you to choose a car. I'd walk at this point, frankly.
You would?
I'm not getting in.
No, I'm getting in.
I'm making
car.
A car. Actually, here's the thing. I have high tolerance for Wentz out of respect that he's the starter and he's arguably no worse than the seventh best quarterback in the league. So I got that. I have that kind of respect for him. He doesn't pull me into the circle. You know?
It's
a hard spot I'm in.
If you had to choose, if you really needed the ride, it was raining,
Wentz,
pouring, you would go with Carson.
You can always find another coach. You can't always find another quarterback who's the top seven in the league.
Huh. Right. There's a little coolness there.
That's more where I'm going. I think Doug is clearly a good coach. To make the playoffs 3 years in a row, that's not happening that much around the NFL, honestly. I think he's a good coach. But I do think he has flaws. And one of them is he needs to adjust to his quarterback and stop asking his quarterback to adjust to him. Andy Reid, now he has a better quarterback, but Andy Reid does things to get the most out of that quarterback. He's always looking for ways to maximize the quarterback. And I think that's also their approach in drafts and their approach in free agency. It should be all about how do we make this guy better. Instead, I feel like he wants to shackle him because of his own remedial past.
Yes. All right, so here's the thing. 610-622-0975, as always, that's the number. Let's go to Chris in Palmyra. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Mike. Love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
I wanted to put my two cents in. You were talking about geeky quarterbacks, and you didn't really say anything about the Manning brothers. And I figured that.
We talked about both of them. Eli totally uncool. Might be the most uncool guy to go into the Hall of Fame. Peyton Manning is cool. Peyton Manning's got a sense of humor. He's got personality. He's cool.
He's funny, but if he wasn't a quarterback, he'd be a loser.
Why? Why'd he be a loser? He's got great personality. He's sarcastic. He's that makes him cool. He had personality the whole time.
Okay.
Now Eli not. Eli's got nothing.
No.
He's got blank eyes. That dude.
Okay.
That was it? That's all you wanted to talk about? The Manning brothers?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was the last thing that you talked about.
Yeah, go through the top 10 quarterbacks in your history, right? Who, in your mind, would be the top 10 quarterbacks?
Okay.
Go ahead. You got to name them.
Montana.
Cool.
Young.
Cool. Young? All right, cool.
I would probably say Manning and...
Peyton, cool. Elway, cool.
Yeah.
Favre, cool.
Right,
Even Aikman, if you get to the back of the list, you go Aikman, you go, he's cool. There was something cool about Aikman. He wasn't a geek. He had this presence about him. I'm the QB. Boom. You see what I'm saying?
Agreed, yeah, I agree with
you. All right, Chris, now where's Wentz figuring all this?
I would stand behind Wentz. I do not like Peterson. I think he got lucky with the Super Bowl. So I don't agree with the playoffs.
So you're right with Wentz. Now, I'm getting a lot of feedback right with Wentz, too. Like Ryan emails in. I'm 100% on board with Wentz. I think anyone who isn't is nuts. He could be the best quarterback in the league with the right coach. I don't know about that. Doug has to go. Well, he doesn't have to go. And I think he's well worn out the Super Bowl protection. That was 2 years ago. Enough time has passed. Neither should go.
I'm not getting
neither,
rid of the coach.
Neither have pulled me in to the deep end of the pool.
Now, you're harder. You got a... And actually, in some ways, you're asking people to pull you to the deep end, but you're wearing a life jacket.
No, I'm willing to go into the deep end if it's somebody I believe in.
Yeah, you take off the life jacket, but you walk around with the life jacket.
No, I don't go in. Yeah, I wouldn't go in. You pull me in, I got to believe in you. I'm not wearing a damn life jacket anyway. I'm going in. I am not afraid of deep end. I'm not afraid to jump off a 10-meter high dive if I know I got support in the pool.
Have you ever really jumped off a 10-meter high dive?
I actually have.
What's the 10-meter one? Is that
That's the highest one.
Yeah, it's the concrete platform.
You have?
Yes.
Did you dive? Did you dive?
No.
Cannonball?
You just jumped.
Yes.
Like straight down.
If I tried to dive, I would, you know, my body would be in a flip position. I couldn't control that. I could dive off a diving board.
Right.
But the 10-meter is a little more precarious.
Like a swan.
You know, my old
school. There goes Mike.
Yeah.
You know.
Kent State has an outdoor 10-meter pool for this. It's like their natatorium. So.
My old school swim lessons, they did that. You could jump or they drop you off the high dive. And you have to swim to the end. That was the final test. Mm-hmm. You know how scary that is for a kid? So I wouldn't jump, so they had to drop me. But I made it to the end. I was afraid. I'm a little kid. You swim to the end. I'm like, why is this part of the swim lesson? But it was. They don't do that with kids anymore.
Yeah, it's tough to get a kid to die, like to get into the dive position off a diving board. It takes, you know, you have to.
You have to bounce
off the springboard.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, to get your body in a position where your hands are in front of you and you're directly.
Right, you're kind of jumping. It's hard
enough for a kid.
Yeah, because you're jumping out.
You're not really jumping down.
You're jumping sort of out on an angle, but you think you're jumping down.
I learned to dive off the diving board at the Italian Mutual Aid Fifth Ward Pool.
There you go. My dad learned
when my dad would pay the dues to join it. I think one out of 7 years we got to the dues there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Jeff and Camden. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
How you doing, Mike?
What's going on, Jeff?
I'm chilling, man. So, Philly baseball, man. This is going to be really weird. I am concerned, but I'm excited just to see something happen when it does happen, if it does happen.
Yeah, why? With every sport or just baseball?
Huh?
The baseball plan is really interesting to me with all these little stipulations they're going to have and try to get that going smoothly. Here's the thing. Like, no throwing the ball around the infield? What is that saving? What is that? What germs are they saving there?
I don't know, man. We got to see what's happening, man.
Jeff, hell, you got a bad connect there. Give us a call back. We'll talk more about that. But no throwing the ball around the infield is supposed to do what exactly?
Well, if it just goes pitcher, catcher, just the pitcher catches it, right? Just has it.
Yeah.
But then somebody's going to field it and throw it. You catch it with a glove.
Yes.
Just put it to the side because it limits how many people touch it. It limits it. So now the hypothetically, if you go around, that means the pitcher, the catcher, the third baseman, let's say, and the first baseman is all caught it. Now you're adding the second baseman and the shortstop unnecessarily. That's more contact. Just get rid of it. You follow what I'm saying? The pitcher throws to the catcher. He throws it back. The next time the batter puts it in play to the third base side. Third baseman's now touched it. First baseman catches it with his glove. He can just get rid of it. Instead, now he touches it. Now the second baseman.
What's the difference if two more guys touch the ball? The third baseman fields the ball, throws it to the first baseman. The third baseman and the first baseman and then felt the ball. What's the first baseman throws it to the shortstop and throws it to the second baseman who crosses it back over to the third baseman and then they throw the ball out of play. Like, what's the big deal?
Well, that's extra people because the first
baseman. Two extra people.
No, three, because if the first baseman catches it in the glove, out. Somebody can come get it with the gloves, grab that ball, get rid of it right then. He never has to touch it because only touched his glove. He didn't touch it with his hands yet. So it's three.
So the pitcher and the third baseman will be the only people that touch that particular ball. Don't you think that's overkill?
I'm not saying.
Uh-huh.
The reason somebody puts this in is all about limiting exposure. So you put that in initially. They may say that's crazy and get rid of that part, but that is a way to limit. And then how many fly balls in this game versus in the past? Way more fly balls in 2020, in 2020, than it was in 85. Way more fly balls, so that's less people touching it. And way more strikeouts. So it's all about trying to limit exposure.
How about this? You can't take that. crossway toss away. It's stupid to take that away. It's penny wise and stupid. All right, so you got a little squirter hand sanitizer. You throw it around the infield, squirt, boom.
Yeah, they're talking about.
That's what I was just thinking.
You still got the crossway toss.
There you go.
I'm good with that.
They're talking about having those on the sideline for football with a bunch of the football
right
stuff.
Right in your pocket. Bryce Harper's got his whole luggage in his right ass pocket. Yeah. If you look what he's got
in. There's no reason not to have some sanitizer.
Right. Put a little sanitizer in there.
Or you can line the pockets.
You can't take that. You can't take that joy tossing the ball around.
Well, there you go. I'm sure somebody, if they're going through with experts, I'm sure an expert would say, okay, how many bottles of sanitizer do we need for every player, for every game? And they probably worked that out. You have to, because they already found their own factory in Utah for tests somehow. Found their own factory.
Yeah.
MLB. Utah. They got their own factory just for them.
The toss is done two ways, by the way, professionally and amateur-wise.
Okay.
The amateur one does not include the catcher most of the time. The professional way, the catcher is supposed to be backing up the play, so he's halfway down the line. The first baseman turns to his left, fires to the catcher. The catcher then crosses it over to the shortstop, second base, third base. The amateur, the first baseman goes directly to the shortstop.
Gotcha. Okay. See, that's real
baseball. Because the catcher, in amateur baseball, the catcher's run down anyway. He's not going to be chasing down the line every play.
Popping up, right? It's one extra time, you're saving a little energy.
All right, let's go Sean Clifton Heights. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, Mike, how you doing,
buddy? What's up, Sean?
I heard through the grapevine that you didn't like the name Chase, so my 3-year-old wants to tell you.
No, I like the name Chase. I just think it's weird that you name him after Chase Utley. That's the Chase. If you're a suburban white guy, I'll take Chase all day of the week. Drop my kid off at the big school.
I didn't name him after anybody. I just like the name. But he definitely wants to tell you something about it. Look.
What's that? Is this Chase?
Said your name was soft. He said the name Chase was soft. Tell him what you think. Say, what's up, Mike? Say, what's up?
What's up, Chase? What's up, buddy? All right, man.
He was talking tough earlier. I don't know.
I got you. Yeah, no, I don't want to give people the wrong impression. I like the name Chase. I like it. I think it's cool. It's cool in a white man sort of way.
Yeah.
Yeah, like no Italian family would ever name their kid Chase. But you have to be Metagon and, a suburban Metagon white guy.
Probably.
And I got no problem with that. If that's what, that sounds cool to me. In Whiteville.
Aren't any black or Hispanic Chases in the world?
It can't be. There's not a black man on earth named Chase.
I think it's a black name.
I would be surprised if I met a black dude named Chase. Could there be like a Chase Gomez or Chase Rodriguez?
No, there's no Latinos named Chase either.
Are you sure? I feel like
Lopez.
Chase is...
Oh, hell no.
Chase is kind of... I've never heard
of a Chase Lopez.
I agree it's generally more Caucasian, but I wouldn't be surprised if I met a black dude or a Hispanic dude named Chase.
You could scour the earth and not find that.
I know some black dudes named Blake.
You can hire Harrison Ford and his entourage, and you won't find a black man Chase in America.
I disagree. We'll find one by the end of today, I'm sure.
In the Delaware Valley?
Yes. I put out a tweet looking for people who named their kids after athletes, and there are a ton. We have a Donovan. There's a Carson.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
I know. I'm just saying. Somebody out there wouldn't name my kid after an athlete.
I would come up with the name myself, but I'm not going to begrudge people who do it. I just wouldn't.
Oh, Brian Westbrook just hit me.
Hmm?
Chase Young. Second pick in the draft.
Yes.
First, that's the Black Chase.
Wow.
See?
I wonder if he's named after...
How did that happen?
Right. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah,
I forgot about Chase Young. Damn.
Man.
Chase is a strong name. What does it mean?
Can you name any famous Chases?
As a first name?
No.
Other than Utley, he's got to be the most famous Chase on earth. There was a basketball player, Chase Budinger.
Yeah, I remember this white guy. He could rise. Brian tweeted because he went to DeMatha.
Yeah.
He's all in there.
Oh, a lot of Chases?
DeMatha.
Oh, he's from DeMatha.
Yeah.
How many Chases did Brian go to school with?
There you go. That's Brian. Brian, a little older. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, he's listening. He heard
Chase Daniel, the quarterback.
Chase Daniel, yeah.
Hey, Dan, but he's a career backup.
I'm looking for an actor. I can't
no
find.
There's no famous Chases ever.
Well, the only one that's showing up is Chevy Chase, but he doesn't count.
No. So Chase Elliott's the most famous Chase in the world.
Oh, my God. All right.
Sure?
So what? We have Taj in Master Control at NBC Sports Philly.
Yeah.
She says she knows a black Chase. So we got to find some out. Maybe that's a newer thing. Because remember, Chase Young's 21 years old.
Yeah.
That must be a much more modern thing. There can't be one over 30. Can't be.
I bet there is.
A black Chase over 30.
It's not that crazy to me. It's more of a Caucasian name, I agree. But it wouldn't surprise me.
This is freaking me out.
I wouldn't think twice if I met a dude out and his name was Chase and he was black.
Mixed or just black?
No.
Mixed. Or black.
Either way.
If I met a black dude, his name was Chase, I would go, yo, man, you got to get more natural with that. like Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah. Brian's claiming what? He knows millions of Chases.
See?
I don't know what's going on.
First of all, he doesn't know a million people.
Well,
millions of Chases. Come on. Come on, B-West. It's got Gene and Armour. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Gene?
It's me, Gene.
What's going on,
Natalie, I want to let you know you have a lot of female listeners on the Mike and Mike show. So Sarah, Therese, Curry, Colleen, and then one more, Curry. No, she has 7 kids already. They all want to give you a shout-out, Natalie.
Ooh, look at that. That's big in the Ardmore hood?
Well, no, I'm 69 years old. I'm a dirty old man.
Oh, God bless you there, Jeannie.
I'm in a hospital bed being taken care of right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you hang in there.
No, wait a minute. I want to talk about Carson now.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Carson and the coach have to love and trust each other. And if they do, you hear me?
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right, so if they love and trust each other, it depends on Carson to stay healthy.
Yes.
He has to become a Tom Brady and not get killed out there because they're trying to kill you.
Exactly.
Right. So I bet at 12 games with you earlier this year. I'm going to back that bet for $100.
You think you're going to win 12 games?
Yes, $100.
Well, I don't want to bet you because I don't want to take any.
All right. Well, we can bet.
Yeah, it's a friendly wager. Just me and you. Gene, because I don't think they're going to win 12. But let me ask you this question, Gene. Do you believe that this head coach and the quarterback love each other?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
And where do you get that?
Carson's very religious, and the coach is a very practical man.
Okay, so you believe that they love each other?
Well, not love, but they love each other. They're not to play this game.
Okay, so why do you think the head coach was so giddy when he drafted Jalen Hurts?
If I had picked up that talent, I'd be giddy too. I was supposed to use this show when that kick came through.
Yeah.
I almost fell over.
Why do you think the coach was so giddy if he loves Carson so much?
Of course, he has another player that can play all the positions and play it well.
Okay. All righty. Gene, check it in. From Ardmore.
Oh,
he knows a lot of females that love Natalie.
Good, that's sweet.
Yes,
doing well with the ladies, man.
Well, women can listen to sports radio.
Yes, and we love the women.
Love the ladies.
Yes. Let's go to Tommy in Pottstown. Tommy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Cole, Tom.
Tommy.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
Hey, how are you, Mike?
Good, Tom. Go ahead, you're on the air, buddy.
Oh, all right. So I just wanted to talk about how Doug Peterson kind of lost his trust in Carson Wentz almost. I feel like he kind of gave up on him, and drafting Jalen Hurts kind of just proved that point to all of us.
Ah, so that was a sign to you that these two maybe don't love each other.
Yeah, no, I think there's a little bit of some drama going on with that, and I think it's going to be hard for Carson to, come back next year and, like, focus on the team and winning, you know?
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think the reason is that Carson Wentz frustrates Doug Peterson? Because I think we can both agree that that's there. He's frustrated by Carson Wentz for some reason. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the inconsistency that he shows, like, throughout the season. I mean, with getting hurt and then just the numbers throughout, like, he's never really been consistent.
Oh, like last year, played the whole season. You know, he got the concussion in a playoff game. So why do you think that, you know, he doesn't look at his quarterback like, well, he was hardy all last season? Well, that's not any reason for me to dislike him. He survived the year.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I dislike him.
I'm talking about, like, from Doug's viewpoint. Why would Doug not respect Carson? Because he did last the whole year.
The only reason that he can't like him is got to be his consistency in the numbers with the interceptions.
Yeah, I know, but last year his numbers were pretty consistent. So this is the thing I'm trying to get to. Like, what if we can agree that Carson frustrates Doug, which I think that, like, our poll started out is an indication that they're not exactly joined at the hip. So we can make the conclusion that Doug is frustrated by Carson. So my question is, why? What is it? What is the dynamic that doesn't make these guys sing We Are the World together?
That's a good question.
We are the world.
We are the world.
Yeah, why was Dan Aykroyd allowed there?
That was odd.
It was odd that he was there.
He was big at the time.
People
liked him.
Well, we're getting on a tangent, but he shouldn't have been there. But why?
We Are the World was that was Bob Geldof, right? Wasn't that Bob Geldof who arranged that We Are the World thing?
No. Maybe it was part of it, but I mean,
What did Bob Geldof organize that was like?
I thought it was Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, and Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
Who got everybody for Real
what
the World.
What did Bob Geldof do? Bob Geldof was the, he did something, but he was the lead singer to Boomtown Rats.
Oh, Band-Aid.
Oh, that was Band-Aid.
Okay. Yeah, he did Band-Aid.
I was going to say, I'm not familiar with that.
The Boomtown Rats?
Yeah, no.
Yes, you are.
Do I knew them?
I don't like Mondays. Tell me why. I don't like Mondays. You never heard I Don't Like Mondays?
It
was about the guy in Texas who went to the top of the tower and started shooting people.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
You got to play the Boomtown Rats now, Tyrone.
Oh.
I don't like Mondays. It was about the guy. You know the guy who went in Texas, went to the top of the tower. He started shooting kids in the schoolyard.
I'm not familiar with that song.
No, me either.
Oh, he said that song. Booney's saying that song was not about the Texas clock tower.
What was it about?
I don't know.
He said, I don't like Mondays. That's what the guy said.
I thought that was about.
That's what the guy said.
I thought that song was about a girl who didn't like Mondays.
No, the guy who got arrested, the sniper, said when he was arrested, why'd you do it? He goes, I don't like Mondays. It was his notorious line. And that's where that song came from.
Jeez.
From the Boomtown Rats.
And then they sang a song about it?
Well, he made it into a song, I Don't Like Mondays, but it was like he used that line to make a song.
Nah.
What?
Nah, I was right. It's about a female. Brenda Ann Spencer is who that's about. She said she didn't like Mondays. She went on a shooting spree.
Went on a shooting spree.
Yeah, it was about a girl.
Okay. Well, that's who he made the song.
16 years old at the time.
He made the song off of that. Bob Geldof,
lead
singer of the Boomtown Rats. I can't believe you never heard of the Boomtown Rats.
I didn't know that was a real group.
Come on, man.
A Boomtown Rat.
Get the Boomtown Rats up there for me.
Oh, I get it. It's just
Bob Geldof. He's Irish.
I know him.
You should know him.
He's an Irish guy.
If you were real Irish, you would have known him.
He organized the festival. He was like humanitarian. But he was the lead singer of Boomtown Rats.
I must have missed the Boomtown Rats.
That's Irish history.
See, she was being Scandinavian that day. That picks.
I gotcha.
Isn't it a time for a break? Right,
6-1. Yes, it is. 610-632-0975. On the other side, the Boomtown Rats on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Down.
It's actually a good song with a morbid tone to it.
Time's machine is kept so clean and it types to a waging world.
I like the piano.
So shocked by this world is rocked.
Yeah, he's just trying to paint the picture of a psychotic girl.
It's working.
Yeah.
I'm having a tough time connecting for that reason.
Really?
Yeah. Now that I know what it's about, I can't enjoy it.
Yeah, I understand that. I get it.
We got any other Boomtown Rats?
No, All right, that's enough. That's enough of the Boomtown Rats. Yes, the Boomtown Rats were a very popular band.
Oh, that's funny. I've never heard that one.
Yes.
Maybe I've heard other ones.
Well-regarded guy, that Bob.
The name's coming back to me now.
That DiBella, in the heyday, used to play it every Monday.
Oh, really?
Play this every Monday at the heyday. Yeah.
There you go. They had another song called Trash Glam Baby, I think.
Sounds like it'd be more up my alley.
Yeah. I mean, he's an Irish thing.
It's coming back to me now.
Yeah, they had a series of hits in the late 70s, I think. And then he went to other things. He founded Live Aid.
Yeah, he did Band-Aid and Live Aid. Good for him. Good for that.
Yeah.
You missed me with that.
I can see it. Why? But it's like in the UK and Ireland, I guess
Well, the Irish do have a tendency to kind of sing about their sorrows.
A cryptic look at what happened.
Well, it's very Irish.
One of the popular songs that are out right now, Lonely, it's about a sad song with an upbeat tempo, so I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he was trying to do. He was just trying to paint the picture of a psychotic weirdo by saying,
Oh, wait, his daughter was Peaches Geldof?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
You know Peaches?
I know Peaches.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to these phones. Ian in Newark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
What's up, Mike? Do you think there's any white guys named Tyrone out there?
I know.
I
think there might be. I actually think there might be.
There was Tyrone Power.
Yeah, Tyrone Power.
A long time ago, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I met a couple of guys that have African-American are named Chase. I don't think that's not a common name.
It's not a very common name.
With baseball, you see Bryce Harper's new plan. It's all about money. He wants to play 135 games, so I don't think baseball comes back because don't you think they got to have an agreement by June 1st or something? Isn't that the deal?
Yes, they have to have an agreement that's really slogging along right now. The owners are going to have to give in here. It's funny because they're thinking that baseball players, that this would be devastating to them financially. And it really wouldn't be.
Top tier guys, it wouldn't bother them. Like, how many guys are in the bottom tier, though? You think it'd come down to
the bottom tier guys are still making $500,000 a year from the year before. It's like, okay, unless you're an idiot, you can live off of that for 1 year.
No, so say they do come to the agreement where the players can choose not to play. You think it could come to that, or the union won't let that happen?
The union will very much let it happen if they vote that not to play.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about, say Trout says he doesn't want to play, and certain players don't want to play, but other players want to play. You think it could come to that where certain players, would the union let that happen?
Yes. The power of the high-priced players would give solidarity to the whole union not to play.
Okay, because with these new rules and stuff, what do you think?
Yeah, and it's not one man, one vote. So the lesser players don't have that much power.
Right. Now with the Carson, I'm with Carson Wentz now. I used to be a Foles guy, but after this draft, I'm done with Peterson because it was a stupid draft. They're playing for 3 years later. They didn't get anybody in the draft to help them this year.
I think it tells you all you need to know on what that head coach. I mean, he was so giddy about the selection of Hurts. He was. He's got cackling.
So happy.
So he feels like he's very much in deference to Andy Reid. Andy Reid's got this multi-skilled dude who can do a lot of things, right? One thought follows the other, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think
this guy could be my Mahomes.
See, that's where I disagree with Doug's. I think you're right about the thinking, but yeah. Because I think Wentz's skill set is closer to Mahomes than Hurts' skill set. Flat out, because Wentz can spin it. Mm-hmm. No one has an arm like Mahomes is a once in a generation arm.
Yeah.
No one spins it like him. But I'm saying he has a good strong arm that works in weather. He can throw on the run like the touchdown he threw against in the corner of the end zone that was like the highlight of the season. He can do things. I think Doug's being a little stubborn. Fit the offense around your quarterback. Don't make your quarterback fit into your offense. Work around the skill of your guy. That's why I also, Anthony brings up a lot about the double tight end thing. I'm sure Carson wants to go vertical more, but a lot of their offense is based on going horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you want to get the most out of him, go vertical, because that's one thing Andy does.
Yeah.
He goes vertical.
All right, let's get Warren and Mount Airy in here. Warren, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Warren.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
Long time I haven't talked to you. I've been with you ever since you were with the coolest co-partner that you've ever worked with, and also when you were with that jerk that has that looks like the wolf man. So that's two ends of the spectrum right there. I just had to get that in.
All right, whatever.
That's a violation.
Oh, that's not a violation. That's totally not a violation. What he had to say. All right, because he's right, he's 100% accurate, but go ahead, Warren.
I was pretty accurate, wasn't I, Mike?
I'm totally accurate. In fact, you held back.
I know, I am holding back, but just bear with me, Mike.
All right, go ahead.
I want to mention, talking about cool quarterbacks, can I give you a few from different generations?
Sure.
I'm going to start out with Montana.
Cool.
You agree?
Oh, cooler than cool.
Broadway Joe.
Cool. Absolutely cool. Like, his ability, he was cooler than his ability, really.
Yeah, okay.
Right,
Marino.
Dan Marino is cool, yeah.
Brett Favre.
Cool. Crazy, but cool.
Mahomes.
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson is cool. And Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. And Brady's cooler than cool. Rodgers is cool.
Hey, you know, it's easier to be cooler than Wentz. Wentz he's so square that he's starting to look like a circle.
Listen, in the manual of quarterbacks, it doesn't say you can't be great if you're not cool.
Oh, I agree.
I have high tolerance for him out of respect that he's one of the top seven quarterbacks in the league.
But, Mike, here's what really turns me off. Any athlete, when they start proselytizing, and I come from a family of multi-denominations, from Catholic to Presbyterian to Islam. But when you start coming out and you're trying to put your religion on me, I think it's turned off a lot of fans.
That's your problem. That's your thing. That's your, for some reason, it makes you uncomfortable. Proselytizing, if you're genuine about it, shouldn't bother you at all. That's what he's about. It bothers you for a certain reason. So you got to look within you. Like, it doesn't bother me when people are professing their faith to God. It doesn't bother me at all. Why would it bother me? It's their whole, that they're dedicated to that.
Yeah, it's an odd thing because we don't get nearly as offended if somebody was talking about doing a lot of sinning, insert whatever sin,
exactly.
Drinking, drugging,
exactly.
Whatever, so, womanizing.
The fact that you're uncomfortable with religion is a you problem, not a him problem.
Yeah, he also, I think your point was, that's one thing that is authentic about him. Like, that's real.
Right.
He's not faking that. That's how he lives his life.
Exactly.
I've been trying to go to online church, actually.
I think people that feel that way have had religious confusion that they've dealt with in their lives that would be bothered by somebody who throws their religion out there.
You mean like they don't have confidence in their convictions or their beliefs?
There's something that where religion steered them wrong, mm-hmm. and so they don't want to hear about it.
Well, it also, if it's been forced upon you, I think you're a little bit less resistant to kind of want to hear it.
Or in either way. It didn't serve the same purpose for them as it did for Carson Wentz, and they're resentful of it, so they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like you're envious, and you turn that upside down into anger against it.
You know, I will say, though, I don't know if they would admit it calling in. There is absolutely, though, a percentage of this fan base that actually are 100% cool with Wentz on the field. Mm-hmm. But the religious thing bothers them, and they just
it bothers a lot,
and it
of
makes them not well, like them. There's absolute. They don't always admit it, but they say it in other ways.
The people that do that, I would suggest look. You got to look inside yourself and ask yourself why that would bother you, because it has nothing to do with you. 610-620-975. Back after this,
the Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 3:46 on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. James Palmer, NFL Network, is coming up at 4:30. And Dougie P spoke today, a little video conference. Tyrone, can we play how he feels about his backup quarterback situation? Because I think he's throwing the okey-doke on us. With the backup quarterback situation. Let's hear what he has to say on the backup position.
But I fully expect Nate to come in and be aggressive and do the things that he's capable of doing and, you know, become the backup to Carson. And then with Jalen's about right now just learning and picking up our system. And you know, he's another young player that we drafted who there's a lot to learn from the quarterback position. So are we going to take it, you know, a little bit slower maybe with him until he you know, grasp the offense, you might have to. So, you know, but there's always, what I like about it is always the unknown. And the unknown is how well a guy, I think, can progress. And then once we get him on the grass, put him through the drills, put him through practices, then we see exactly what these guys are all about. But, you know, right now, Jalen's doing an outstanding job of picking up the offense, spitting it back, you know, to press and understanding what we're trying to get done. And you know, we go that route with him right now at this time.
Did you notice the tell? The tell. He's got the tell. The tell is the repetition.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He went, and then he went, and then until he, Jalen, wee.
Yeah.
He's got that repetition going when he's trying to BS you. It's the tell.
Yeah, so we know who the backup is.
It's like KGB, Teddy KGB with the Oreo. When he popped, you know, in rounders. It was the tell.
That was the tell, yes.
So there you go. I'm not buying that Nate stuff.
No, it's clear. Man. Now, unless camp, if long as there's a training camp, we know who to be the backup. If for some reason there's a limited training camp and they start the season on time, which isn't ruled out, mm-hmm. then Nate would have to be the backup. But assuming there's camp, they'll find a way for him to, quote, win the position.
Yes.
He just performed well. Mm-hmm. We felt comfortable. They'll find a way to fudge it.
Right.
Clearly. You don't draft a guy to second round to be third string. You don't.
No.
Ever.
All right, let's go Chase and Berwyn. Chase, what's up, Chase?
Yes, how are you, Mike?
What's going on, man?
Tyrone? Yes, my name is Chase Ferguson. I'm originally from South Philadelphia. I enjoy your show for many, many, many years, and this is the first time I've ever called in. But that question came up about there's no black Chase in the whole area. So I'm confirming that.
Your name is Chase. You're a black man from Berwyn?
Yes, I am. Yes, originally from South
Philly. Originally from South Philly. So how old of a man are you, Chase?
I'm 62 years
My
old.
My God, your parents broke the mold there. Back in the day, they called you Chase?
Well, there's a story behind this, Mike, and okay. I got to confess, I'm not going to lie on air.
Okay.
I got the name as a nickname from part of my business when I was about 35 years old. My supervisor took my original name, Charles, and put the E on the Chaz and made it Chase.
Well, come on, man. That's Fugazi, then. You're not Chase on the birth certificate.
What?
I thought you were breaking ground here.
Mike, my wife knows me as Chase. That's how I'm
married. No, listen, I get it. It's a nickname, and it sounds good on you. You wear it well right now. But it wasn't like your parents said, oh, let's name him Chase. Come on, man. You throw me a curveball.
My kids know me as Chase. Trust me.
Yeah, I get it. They know you as Chase, but you weren't named Chase. Come on.
Okay, Mike.
Come on, Chase.
But I couldn't
Come on, Charles.
On it anyway. I enjoy your
listen,
show.
Here, you Chase, let me tell you something. You almost flabbergasted me. 62-year-old man back in the day in South Philly, and they would put Chase on the birth certificate. That would have been flabbergasting to me. But that name wasn't even invented yet back then.
Probably, you're right.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
Come on, man. He curveballed me.
Man, I thought that was it.
And that was in here popping champagne.
We're still going
to... had to put it back in the bottle.
That was a 2-0 curveball. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, that was... okay.
It's coming.
So maybe we'll get it. The people are telling me that in the hood, people are telling me on social media, we haven't heard from him yet.
Yeah.
In the hood, he grew up with two Chases. My guy Leon right here says...
How old Leon?
He said 30 plus. He knows over 30 in the hood. Not like the rapper hood. He said from the
hood. I'm learning something. I think it's a very small number of Chases, to be honest with you. Hey, you know, that's like a Souderton name.
It's a Souderton.
Yeah. You gotta go. You're way out there that way.
Like name the name and you guess the town.
Is Chase, speaking of like coolness and toughness, is Chase a tough name?
See, Utley was tough, but it's not a tough name.
Would you step to somebody named Chase?
He would no hesitation.
I think Chase is actually a cool name, but it's cool for a suburban white dude.
You can play lacrosse?
Exactly. That's a perfect lacrosse name.
We should probably Google the all-time leading lacrosse scorer at some of these top schools. I bet you there's a Chase in that mix.
Yes.
Probably a Chase in that mix, lacrosse. That's very lacrosse.
That's like a Percocet lacrosse name.
The peak of the name Chase was 2009. So it does go hand in hand, which might...
Of course it does.
Which might validate that he is the most famous Chase in the world.
Yeah, now, he may have triggered... Because the name's cool, and it may have triggered... Well, you know, that's a cool name. In addition to that, he's one of my favorite players. So, you know, that's a name that you can get away with. As cool.
Yeah, but in addition to it, not because it's named after, right?
Right.
Because you don't get that.
Exactly. Like, that takes it out of the realm of being named after an athlete, because it's actually a cool name.
Is Randall a cool name?
I don't have a problem with Randall.
I had a teddy bear named Randall, after Randall Cunningham.
Now, before Randall Cunningham, the most famous Randall was Trading Spaces, right? Trading Places.
Oh, Randall, yeah.
That was the most before
Randall
Cunningham.
And Mortimer.
Yeah, they were the most famous.
The Dukes.
That's what I mean. The Dukes before Randall Cunningham, they were the most famous Randall, because there's not that many famous Randall.
Exactly.
Randall Tex Cobb.
There's more famous Randalls than famous Chases, I'd have to assume, right?
Yeah, there's Randall Tex Cobb. Well,
Randall Tex Cobb.
Famous Randalls, huh?
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second.
Got any?
Not many famous Randalls.
Yeah, I think Chase might actually beat Randall in fame.
And Randall Cunningham, Randall Cobb are the two most famous Randalls.
Huh.
That's it. See, I would put pre-Cunningham, Randall to me reads like a rich person now.
Oh, for sure.
But I don't know if that's still the case.
Randall.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it was Randolph.
It was Randolph.
And Mortimer Duke.
Oh, well, never mind.
So that's a variation.
Yeah, so really it's just Randall Tex Cobb and Randall Cunningham.
Yes.
And that's it.
That's all I got.
All right.
4 o'clock hours ahead. Mike Missanelli Show back after this.